from the latest on Caribbean cruises to kosher safaris, pilgrimages to Jewish Eastern Europe, and award-winning wines and international cuisine in sun-drenched Tel Aviv. Sit back and enjoy the trip with the travel edition of the Jerusalem Post podcast.
Happy New Year, David.
And to you too. We did have a previous pod this year, but it was pre-recorded and it was in the days when we could travel.
Yeah, we pressed play and then we carried on partying from Christmas.
So you've said Happy New Year, but for how long into the new year is it legitimate to say Happy New Year?
I think you should stop before December the 31st.
I think some people have the custom, not necessarily that it is fitting for many of our listeners, but to say Happy New Year until the 12th day of Christmas.
I think you can carry on until people have that worn out look that they're back at work after Christmas, after the break, and they're like,
it's a good job this is a podcast, otherwise people would see our worn out looks. So, New Year's resolution in the world of travel, Mark. What's yours for this year?
More travel than last year.
We did all right towards the end of the year.
We did. We had a little burst. I think there's a phrase for it, revenge travel, that you go out there and you try and get back at COVID by going to travel as often as you can.
Or by breathing over everybody else and spreading it.
That's the 2022 resolution, isn't it? Pass on the Omicron.
We're not going there. But where we are going during the course of this podcast, we'll be heading to... It's spelt in two different ways, but it's only pronounced one way. Is that right?
Well, it depends if you mispronounce it. If you mispronounce it, you can say it anyway, lots of ways. The water in Mallorca don't taste like what it ought to.
Very good. People from London, where you come from the East End, used to talk about Gay and Majorca, didn't they?
Weren't you born in London?
Yes, I know, but we moved out of London when I was a little boy, and I said certain parts of London. I didn't sort of besmirch the entire city.
Well, I'm actually from outside London, technically. I was born in Essex, not Essex County, yes. New Jersey, but...
Anyway, this is very insidery. So we're heading to Majorca or Mallorca, which is pronounced Mallorca. And there we'll be learning all about the, how do you say it?
Chueta.
Chueta. These are all new words, but Chueta are the Marranos of Mallorca. And we'll be hearing about their history.
I thought it was something we could eat. It sounded really tasty. Would you like a chueta? Yes, please.
That's only because you're obsessing with Chueta, the restaurant in Barcelona, which is kosher, or has a kosher kitchen.
It's also because I'm on a New Year's diet, so I'll eat anything at the moment. I'm so hungry.
And then we are going to meet, potentially, the most remarkable of all of our guests so far in the year that we've been doing this pod. And we've had some pretty remarkable ones as we head to the Salish Sea off the coast of Canada.
And the beautifully named Salt Spring Island.
Before we do all of that, as we always do, it's time for a couple of quiz questions to get you in the mood for today's destinations.
Question number one. A short question here. What does Mallorca's name mean?
And question number two. Some Salt Spring Island businesses accept two currencies. One is the Canadian dollar, but what is the second? The answers at the end of the pod.
David, have you seen any good films recently?
Yeah, none that I can talk publicly about, but everybody is telling me to watch. There's a film, is it called Look Up? Don't Look Up?
Don't know.
Yeah, Don't Look Up with Leonardo DiCaprio and Meryl Streep. Apparently it is very silly, but amazing. So, no, I haven't seen it, but I hope to. Does that answer your question?
So the answer to have you seen any good films recently is...
No.
Well, not true, because you and I have seen very interesting film
recently.
How
embarrassing. You're absolutely right, because I was thinking of Hollywood. It's funny, because I don't often watch documentaries, but this was a very worthwhile exception.
It tells the story of a group of 15 families on the island of Mallorca from the time of the Spanish Inquisition until today. We spoke to Danny Rotstein, who made that film, Chueta Island.
Born and raised in New Jersey. My father's from Israel originally. My mother's from the States. So we traveled around quite a bit. I lived in Israel for a year. But when I was studying in college, I did a junior year abroad in Spain. And that was my first introduction. I lived in Madrid, fell in love with the country, fell in love with the food, the wine, the siestas, the fiestas, all of it. Kind of knew. I just always wanted to go back there and move. I put a pin on that. When I graduated college, I went to another Spanish speaking country, this time within the United States of America. It's a place called Miami. You might be familiar. And I was there for 7 years. Truthfully, I really did keep up my Spanish there. Then lived 7 years in New York. And then, yeah, it was 2014. I just had been shooting TV commercials all around the globe. I was single and not really loving the whole mingling thing. I was finding it difficult to be in New York and just needed a break, to be honest. And so I had this dream of going back to Spain, put it out there, put some feelers to my network of, hey, I'd love to get work in Spain. How does one go about doing that? Quite serendipitously, a production company in Mallorca connected with me over a friend. They're called Palma Pictures. I started interviewing with them. One thing led to another that they hired me. So I moved to Mallorca with a job.
So you make films and you've got a film coming out now. What story does it tell from Mallorca?
This film explores the legacy of the Inquisition in Mallorca Island. So you have to know that when I moved there, I was pretty confident that I was going to be the only Jew. When I moved there, I actually discovered that there was a synagogue that's actually working. It's not underground filled with cobwebs. You could go in. I was quite shocked. And I went in. I discovered that it was started by British expats, actually, in the 70s. It's Orthodox by nature. I'm not Orthodox. I'm like a Reform conservative Jew. And so I'll never forget when I went in for the first time that there was men and women sitting separately. And there's no rabbi, no chazan. It's all volunteer led. And we had to skip a prayer. They said, oh, we have to skip the Kaddish because there's not a minyan. There's not 10 Jewish men in the Orthodox stream that the synagogue practices. It was fascinating, Mark, because I remember counting 14 men in the men's section. I couldn't understand why they said they didn't have a minyan when there obviously was. And I asked the guy next to me, why are we skipping? And he said, oh, well, that's obvious. Some of these men are not Jewish. They're chueta. And I'd never heard this term chueta before. And I would start learning about it, reading about it, watching films, and then speaking to people who are chueta, and which means that they are Catholic descendants of the Jewish conversos of the island. And so this film explores kind of my learning about who the chueta are, doing interviews with them, about some of them returning to the faith, and now their inclusion in this predominantly expat community, and how the conflicts that come from that, you know, how do people come to a community not having grown up with Judaism, but are now becoming the leaders of this community. So it really talks about Inquisition, history, revival, community, family, but most of all, identity is what I would say the film talks about.
In a minute, we'll come back to the modern community, but let's for a few seconds go back historically. From a tourist's perspective, what is there to see of that history of the Jews and the subsequent generations of these folks who were somewhere between Catholicism and Judaism?
The short answer is very little, because you have to understand the Inquisition was very fierce on this particular island. The Inquisition was created in the years 1488 and was only abolished, David, in 1834. So we're talking about 400 years of real persecution. We know where the synagogues used to stand, but now there is a church, for example. We know where a mikveh might have been. Even the Casa Negra, the black house, the headquarters of the Inquisition, where all the torture happened and the secret prisons, even that building does not exist anymore because they really tried to almost erase this, you know, dark, awful blemish on the history there. But what's shocking to me is that, you know, the actual architecture and places don't exist, but the people do. And that's what really turned me on, that for the first time in my own experience learning about Inquisition and Sephardic history, that you have people who identify by these 15 last names and for hundreds of years were treated differently. No one wanted to marry them because everyone knew that they came from the old medieval Jews. And so that really was what kind of opened up my world in terms of this history, that it wasn't about buildings and Jewish quarters and street names. Suddenly it was about people and this legacy of the Inquisition and how it affected their families.
For a Jewish visitor or someone who's interested in the Jewish heritage of Mallorca, if they come today, What are they going to see that is overtly Jewish? To what extent is there an influence on Majorca by this very small Jewish community?
They will see two very well-kept and preserved Jewish quarters. And when I say well-kept, I mean the streets, the buildings, like all of that, you will feel like you're walking through time without a doubt. You have different street names like Carrel del Call, C-A-L-L, which in Catalan translates to Street of the Jewish Quarter. You can see the Mount Zion Church, which used to be the synagogue. It's named Mount Zion Church. So there are, I would say, hints and clues that talk about a Jewish past, but because of this attempt to really extinguish it, you won't see so many buildings, for example. There are other effects that you could see of this Jewish past on the food, which is phenomenal to see. There is a special bread in Majorca called the ensaimada, which is basically like a brioche. It's really like a dessert, but it used to be braided and circular, very similar to the challah that many Jews, especially Ashkenazi, will have during Rosh Hashanah, for example, the circular form. But now, and I learned this out the hard way, the fact that they call it ensaimada is because they make it with saim. And saim, in the language of Majorca, Majorquin, is actually lard. So yes, they make this bread with lard. You would never know it unless you were told it. And that's because after these forced conversions in 1435, the new Christians, those who were converted, tried to prove that they were no longer Jewish. So they took their challah, they took their Jewish bread, and put lard into it to show the rest of society, look, we're no longer Jewish. We are eating our traditional bread, but we're doing it with pork to show you that we are truly converted. And that has kept going for centuries, that it's now the most popular food. When you go to the airport, you will see packages of ensaimada that people bring home to other parts of Spain, to other parts of Europe, because it really is the most famous dessert bread that that Majorca produces now.
Is the influence of the Jewish community and the chuleta just in Palma, or does it stretch over all of Majorca?
It's most felt in Palma. There is a certain area called Silvermaker Street that chuleta families still live today, not as much as they used to, but it is something that is felt perhaps more, let's call it discriminatory, in the smaller towns or rural areas of Majorca Island. There was for a very long time towns that would not accept people with chuleta last names to even live in those towns, where in Palma there really was a concentration. What I also have yet to mention is that the chuleta families of Majorca pretty much are the only ones that deal with gold making, silver making, jewelry. That was the one guild that they really were not only allowed, but were the best at. You know, if you wanted some good piece of Catholic rosary or something beautifully done, even for the Catholic Church, you'd go to Silvermaker Street in Palma and get the best jewelry done by those chuleta families.
A traveler that likes to keep kosher, is there anywhere for me in Majorca? Will I be able to find vegetarian restaurants? Is there a kosher restaurant? Do the synagogue do hospitality?
The one synagogue on the island has a kosher kitchen. We ship in frozen kosher meat from Malaga, from like another town that's in the southern part of Spain. It's pretty much for the, let's call it, 5 or 10 families on the island that do keep kosher, but we always have extra stock. So especially during the summer, we have a large influx of French and British Jews who do keep kosher. You know, they can come to the synagogue. I don't have the exact schedule, but it's either Tuesdays or Thursdays, and meet with a member of the community and buy that frozen meat. Just this past year, very excitingly, we have a young woman of the community who is baking fresh challah. She can even prepare Shabbat meals and deliver that to people who are staying in hotels, etc. There are many vegetarian restaurants. There are many vegan restaurants as well. There are no kosher restaurants to this date. There's no kosher supermarket. We're a small community of maybe 500 to 1,000 Jews. Again, very secular, very cultural Jewish, very diverse Jews from all over the different parts of the world, many Israelis who don't keep kosher. So the population of our community that does keep kosher is very minimal. So we don't, you know, we haven't opened up a kosher restaurant yet because there's no demand yet.
You have whet our appetites both in terms of taste, but also in terms of visiting. For those of our listeners who feel the same way, how can they get in contact with you and how can they see your new film?
We have two websites that we direct people to, jewishmajorca.com. I do the Majorca with a hard J sound because we spell it with a J. You'll find all of our in-person tours when you come. You'll find our virtual tours that we're doing now. It's a great way to stay in touch with us. And the film is entitled Chueta Island. Chueta, once again, a tough one. In Catalan, it's spelled X-U-E-T-A. So if you find ChuetaIslandTheMovie.com, that's our website. We're putting our updates. I'm excited to share with you both that on the end of January, we are also screening in the New York Jewish Film Festival. So we're kind of making our ways through the film festival circuit. We hope very shortly it'll be available online for everyone around the world to see.
You were kind enough to let David and I have a preview of the film, and I can tell our listeners that it is well worth watching. A fascinating film. Danny Rotstein, thank you very much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, both David and Mark. Really appreciate it.
Mallorca Fact File. United Airlines will launch its Newark to Palma, Mallorca route 3 times a week in June 2022. You can fly direct into Palma de Mallorca Airport, Spain's third busiest airport, with Air Europa, EasyJet, Eurowings, Jet2, Ryanair and Vueling budget airlines, plus multiple charter airlines. During the summer months, there are even direct flights from Tel Aviv and Eilat to Mallorca. From the airport, you can take bus number 1 to Plaza de España, which is the equivalent of the Port Authority or Central Bus Station in Palma. You can also take a taxi, which costs around $25 and takes 20 minutes. Danny recommends the following hotels: the luxury Sant Francesc, the Midland Nacar Hotel, and for budget travelers, Danny suggests the Hotel Araija. There are an amazing 19 vegan and vegetarian restaurants on the island. $1 will buy you 0.88 euros. You can expect mild winters and hot, sultry summers. The summer high is around 32 degrees Celsius or 90 degrees Fahrenheit, and the winter daytime low is 16 Celsius, 61 Fahrenheit. For information on kosher catering, contact the synagogue at cjib.es/en.
And now it's time for the news, brought to you by the travel edition of the Jerusalem Post podcast. Good news to start with, as Israel removes all of its red country travel restrictions for Israelis. Meanwhile, foreigners who meet Israel's green pass and vaccination rules will be allowed to enter the country.
The Knesset Economics Committee recently decided that Israeli tour guides are exempt from paying the second half of their biannual permit fee. The tour guides were effectively given a 135.5 shekel discount.
Hotel construction in Israel is at a 5-year high, according to data from the country's Central Bureau of Statistics. One of the leading chains, Israel, already owns 20 hotels in the country. The company announced it's investing $1 billion for the purchase or construction of 12 additional hotels in Israel over the next 5 years, including 8 in Tel Aviv.
The Park Plaza Westminster Bridge in London has the best hotel breakfast in the world, according to mornings.co.uk's analysis of TripAdvisor reviews. The hotel is owned by Israeli businessman Eli Papushado.
Looking for a great ski destination this year? Well, look no further than Verbier in Switzerland. The World Ski Awards just named the resort the best ski resort on Earth. The W Hotel in Verbier won in the best hotel category. Ski Dubai was named the best indoor ski resort. For years, I've heard of the Salish Sea and had absolutely no idea where it was, but I assumed that it was something to do with, as we talked about the other week, pirates.
I'm Salish across the sea.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that was more Irish. But the Salish Sea, it's like yahaha and a bottle of rum. But we've discovered that the Salish Sea is off the coast of Canada, the west coast, not far from Vancouver. In fact, it's the area surrounding Vancouver. And within it is a fascinating island.
The island is called Salt Spring Island, and we spoke to one of its more colourful residents, Hannah Brown.
I'm a Salt Spring Islander, as they say, for 16 years. Before that, I came from Toronto, or Toronto, as some of us like to say, which is in Ontario. And I was, for 44 years, a teacher, both of secular school and Hebrew school. I'm single. I have several husbands behind me.
And, how many is several?
Oh, just two.
Time for more.
Right now, I have a wonderful Indigenous boyfriend trying to decide if he's too old for me. I was supposed to turn 80 last summer. I refused because I couldn't have the party. And my boyfriend is 78.
You go for younger men.
And when he listens to the podcast, he'll find out that he's possibly not much longer.
That's right.
That you're thinking of dumping him. You can find out live and exclusive here. So getting back to travel. For the uninitiated, including myself, where is Salt Spring Island?
It's in the middle of the Salish Sea, which is what the indigenous people have called it. It is off of the coast of British Columbia. I think the ferry ride from Vancouver is about an hour and a half. If you fly into Victoria, which is the capital of BC and on Vancouver Island, it's a 35-minute boat ride to here, but then it's a half-hour ride to the ocean from the airport. Oh, no. Maybe it's 10 minutes. What do I know?
Depends on the size of your engine.
That's right. That's in whether I'm walking or bicycling.
If I was going to come and visit Salt Spring Island and come for a weekend, where would I go on the island? How would I fill my weekend up?
Well, first of all, you'd come and stay by me. Right? If you wanted to do anything really physical, we would climb Mount Erskine. I climbed it on my birthday because I could. If we take the easy route, it's about 7.5 kilometers up.
Wow.
But the views are spectacular. Or like there's a pathway. Or Mount Maxwell, or if you were into music. We have we did have before COVID, lots of live music. We have jazz. It's mainly a folk island. We have an artist tour. It's an island of artists. So we could tour the island's artists' studios, a couple of galleries. We have the big town of Ganges, which is a parking lot with stores around it and a street or two.
My cousin lives in Toronto, and her cousin is a friend and neighbour of yours, somebody called, I think, Susan. And my cousin, who's also called Suzanne, turned around to me and she said, David, if you're looking for things to talk about on the podcast, there's this place called Salt Spring Island. And she said, I know you're looking at tourism and you're doing it for the Jerusalem Post and you've got this sort of Jewish niche, Jewish angle you're going for. There's a Jewish community. And I said, oh, don't be silly. This is some sort of desert island in the middle of nowhere. Tell us a little bit about the Jewish story of Salt Spring Island.
There are a lot of Jews on the island, but I think most of the Jews are fairly secular. But I call them the eating Jews. They like to come and eat, and they like to come for Jewish holidays. It's never a problem to get together a group of Jews for Shabbat or Passover or whatever. I never used to consider myself secular in Toronto. I started a very interesting synagogue with four other people called the Nuriver. It's a very popular synagogue in Toronto. And we dovin traditional Orthodox egalitarian, so women lead the services as well. So having said that, there's no synagogue out here and people who want to have a synagogue.
I Googled Jewish and Salt Spring Island, and I think the first five answers were all about salt beef, because there's a place called Buzz's Luncheonette, I believe, on the island.
Yeah, and he just opened it, I think, 2 years ago. You know, I think it says something like established in 2019. He's so funny. His is the Jewish place on the island. I mean, it's so Jewish. It's wonderful. However, he says if he depended on the Jewish community for business, he'd be stuck. Anyway, some of us have started meeting there at 4 o'clock on a Friday afternoon. We call it the Shul Gathering. And we sit outside of Buzzy's now that the weather's nice, and we schmooze.
So nice. Now, I'm right in saying it's Jewish, not kosher. Would that be correct?
Yes.
If anybody wants to get more details about the island, about your group, if they wanted to meet you all 4 o'clock on a Friday, people are coming through. How can people get more details about the wonderful you and about Salt Spring Island?
When Buzzy moved here, that's who people told him to contact, was me. But I'm not on any list. I don't know how people would find out except word of mouth.
If you're looking for Hannah Brown, I think the best place to go is going to be Buzz's, to find them in the first place. And if you want details about more of the to-dos in the island, then there's a website which is saltspringtourism.com. Hannah Brown, it has been honestly an honour, a privilege and a pleasure to meet you, even if it is from thousands of miles away. And hopefully one day we will meet you in your home. And I just want to finish with one more thing. Can you tell us what is written on, I think it's a door behind you?
Oh, yes. It says life, smile, love, laugh, uncontrollably. That word just fell down. Slowly, truly, break the rules and kiss and never regret.
Hannah Brown, if I wasn't married myself, I'd be chasing away your indigenous 78-year-old and taking you for myself.
It's all right, there's a vacancy coming later in the year.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for your time.
Thanks, Hannah.
And could I just add one thing?
Yeah.
If anybody's coming to the island, they can email me at Hannah A, that's H-A-N-N-A-H-A, at telus.net.
Very easy. Hannah, once again, thank you.
Thank you.
Salt Spring Island Fact File. Salt Spring Island is one of the Gulf Islands in the Salish Sea between mainland Canada and Vancouver Island. There's no airport on the island, but you can arrive via float plane into Ganges Harbour. There are services from downtown Vancouver Harbour, the float plane terminal at the south terminal of Vancouver Airport, and from Seattle. Services are operated by Harbour Air, Sea Air, Salt Spring Air, and Kenmore Air. Most people opt to arrive by ferry though. The island is serviced by BC Ferries, with three routes in from Swartz Bay, Crofton and Tsawwassen. There are car rentals on the island, taxis and six bus routes with connections from the ferry terminals. Salt Spring Island hotels are not chain operated, but more often family run. There's also the usual mix of bed and breakfast options. $1 will buy you 1.26 Canadian dollars. January is the coldest month, with temperatures dropping to an average 4 Celsius, 39 Fahrenheit, with 23 Celsius, 73 Fahrenheit in August. October to March is the rainy season, but be prepared for rain year-round. There are a couple of vegetarian eateries on the island, Morningside in Fulford Harbour, and Salt Spring Vital Kitchen in Ganges. And if you've been tempted by Hannah's description, then there's always Buzz's Luncheonette at 149 Fulford Ganges Road, number 122.
I am watering at my mouth, ready for a nice salt beef sandwich or brisket sandwich. But the show is coming to an end. I would love to say thank you to Danny and to Hannah for entertaining us for the last 25 minutes.
So why don't you?
Thank you.
Beautifully done. And I would ask, if you are still with us after these 25 minutes, then please, it must mean that you enjoy this, even if you are poking fun at us. So please write a lovely review, subscribe, tell your friends all about this podcast, because without you, there ain't no podcast.
David thinks you're enjoying it. I think you just can't find the stop button.
How many cringes to the minute?
And this is our 25th edition. It's almost a year old. We should have a birthday party in a couple of weeks. But if you enjoyed this, we have 24 other episodes going all around the world. Please listen. Please give us a 5-star rating. You can download on any podcast provider.
But for now, I know it's sad, but we have to bid you farewell until our next episode.
Answers to questions. People will be... hanging on for the answers. That's the only other reason they listen.
I'm a bit rubbish at this, aren't I? I've only been in broadcasting for 30 years. Okay, you go for it first then, I guess.
Okay, question number one. What does Majorca's name mean? And the answer is it comes from medieval Latin, Majorca, meaning the larger one. And a bonus point for everybody out there who knows what the smaller one is. David?
Minorca.
Yeah, menor, meaning minor, and ca, meaning one. Menorca.
Question number two. Some Salt Spring Island businesses accept two currencies. One is the Canadian dollar, but what is the second? And the answer is...
Shekel.
No, it's not the shekel, it's not the US dollar.
Bitcoin.
It is the Salt Spring dollar.
Ooh.
Exactly, not a lot of people know that. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for having joined us this past half hour or so. We hope you'll join us the next time on this particular podcast.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
By the way, how many Salt Spring dollars are there to the US dollar? You didn't do it on the fact file.